All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor, and I'm sure somebody had some time to meditate on all that's been discussed and the questions and the answers that have been given to those questions. It's been wonderful, 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 wonderful. So still your brother Godson Uba, and with us is still Pastor Moses Aldo. God bless you, sir.
Yes, thank you. And quickly before you fire me the next question, let me quickly tell our brothers that love to study, our brethren, brothers and sisters that love to study. Question was asked about the seven seals.
Yes.
And it's been very controversial, and it has generated a lot of hatred for me by minister colleagues who have been preaching this entire message for years because of my presentation of it. Now the thing there is, if it is truth that you are looking for, anywhere you see truth, you will acknowledge it.
That's
easy. You see, that's the problem many of us have. I am looking for truth. I'm not looking for a man to follow. I am looking for truth. But the gospel will always be preached by man. God has ordained it so. Now, it is not about the preacher, but about what he is preaching. So, I want them to understand with me. And if you want to challenge my doctrines, come to the scripture. Well, part of the sources of my revelation, my knowledge, is the man Clarence Larkin. He's the one that he wrote even a book. Okay. You know, the book of Revelation. That is the cover that Clarence Larkin you see on the screen. Okay. The Book of Revelation by Clarence Larkin. And I thank God, Bright TV, and they took time. They have a soft copy of the whole book. And if you go to www.brighttv.org/downloads, when you get there, you will see the Book of Revelation. And then you can, you know, further download it if you want, if you cannot order for the book. But I ordered for the book. And I have it, you know, for reference purpose. You can read it go to our website of the Bright Television, www.brighttv.org/downloads. We have other soft copies of other publications, but go to the Book of Revelation by Clarence Larkin, and then right from chapter 1 up to the last chapter 22 of the Book of Revelation, he took them verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and presented his understanding. And that is where he also spoke about the seven church ages. He was also a dispensationalist. And then they tried to make all those placements. And I discovered that it is what he wrote that William Branham also presented to us. So that means William Branham agreed with him. And that's why of all those who have taught, it was his own version that he took and presented to us. William Branham is not the author of Revelation, though he also preached it in another book, The Exposition of the Seven Church Ages by William Branham. If you look at that, it's just a replica, until some critics were even accusing William Branham of plagiarism, because almost word for word, he presented what Clarence Larkin presented in this Exposition of the Seven Church Ages. It's there, you can read it and see it for yourself. But remember that it is truth we're looking for. And whoever said it, if it is truth, truth is truth. Truth has also come virtual.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can continue. Now, let me quickly say, that it is just like William Branham acknowledged that he read what Clarence Larkin wrote and also said he did not agree with him 100%. I also agree with that what Clarence Larkin wrote in the light of further revelation is not everything. There are some things he spoke there that were not totally in agreement with me on my understanding of what the scripture is saying concerning those things. I remember he wrote this in 18 something, I was in 19 or 18 something. I've forgotten the year now. So events that have come to, okay, what you see on the screen is the one William Branham preached, an exposition of the seven church ages by William Marion Branham. And I think this was presented in 1952 or so. That is when he preached them. So if you can't take the two books, the one with Clarence Larkin, the one by William Branham, you will see that you will almost, you know, agree with those who accuse him of plagiarism. But we don't have plagiarism when it comes to revelation. You know, the Holy Ghost gave this to us freely and we repeat, you know, whatever is spoken. Well, of course, it should be acknowledged. But William Branham only acknowledged the fact that he read his own understanding and only that he did not also agree 100% with him. That's the truth. Because Clarence Larkin was a Baptist theologian. And so there are Baptist doctrines that he will inject in there, which would certainly go with, contrary to the scripture. Some of them are there. But largely, he brought a beautiful picture that can help you build on it if you walk by proper revelation. So go to the website and confirm for yourself, especially you, the followers of the Minister William Branham. And it will be very interesting to see that our prophet read very, very wide. William Branham read very, very wide and is able, therefore, to bring these things for our perfection when we have this knowledge. God bless you.
All right. So God bless you. We have the sites.
That's the picture of Clarence Larkin. Okay. That is his picture. Yes.
All right. Gifts from South Africa. I believe we answered. Should I pay tithe immediately when I receive my salary? Or should I pay doing church service as I'm an online member? That's question one from Sister from Gift from South Africa.
You pay your tithe anytime convenient for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you are online, and so you don't have to wait during church service. But sometimes we say it's faith. Yeah. During faith, while others are giving you theirs, you also connect. Yeah. But remember, it is between you and God. So whether during service or any other time is for you to offer a word of prayer before the Lord, whose commandment you are obeying, and let him know that you have paid your tithe and he should receive it and claim all the blessings that go with obeying that law. And that's all. So it mustn't be during service.
Okay. So question two from Gift from South Africa. Says, if I'm having a loan and I'm paying it monthly, the percentage of my tithe is calculated after paying a loan or from my salary before paying a loan.
I want us to note something. Sometimes we drag this tithe payment unnecessarily too far. God is not in that business. He's not in a contract with you. Always remember that obeying the commandment of the Lord is for your own good, not for him. Amen. You know, so tithe is a tenth of your increase. If your salary, your salary, whatever is finally released to you from your employer is your tithe. Because when you pay it, if it is paid to you, it's expected that all deductions have been made before it is paid to you. Whatever comes to your hand, you pay your tithe from it. But if it is a loan you have that is not deducted from source, the money has to come to you before you take the money to go and pay your loan. It means that your money has been spent. That loan has been spent before you even received. So it's a liability that you pay whatever is left you pay your tithe from. Mm-hmm. That's all.
All right. So God bless you. Gift from South Africa. All right. So we have other. Okay. Brother James from South Africa is also calling. Brother James, God bless you and shalom. We have your question.
Sir, good evening, sir.
Brother James, shalom.
Is good evening, it, Brother Godson.
God bless you, Brother James.
Is it Brother James that I know?
Yes, Daddy.
The one that has an ostrich neck, trying to look at what is happening in Brother Assembly, searching for something? Is he the one?
So I didn't hear, sir.
Is it the James that is stretching and stretching his neck looking for something in Brother Assembly Church?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're welcome. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, my question is from Matthew chapter 25, verse 27.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, concerning the parable of talent.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Through your teachings, I now understand that the talents means spiritual gift.
Yes.
So my question is, the one that was given one talent, and he buried it. When the master came back, he said to him, he said, "Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury."
Yes.
Now, since the talents have to do with a spiritual gift, so how is it possible that he would, who are those exchangers that he will give, you know, his gift, that at the coming of the master, he will get a usury?
Now, when we look at every parable, we don't look at them line by line, word for word, to begin to apply it that way. Sometimes we only get a picture of what he's saying. Now, what he's saying there, the picture you catch from that verse 27 is telling him that, you know, you will not walk if you will not use the gift, the talent I gave you. You will not use it for whatever reason that you give. What he's saying there is that you will have at least done something that when he comes, that gift will not be wasted. All he's trying to tell you is that for not using that gift at all in the least way that is you are supposed to use it, in the least way that any lazy person should have used it, you know, this is what, because you could not do it, then this is the punishment for you. That is just it. At least there are several ways you could have done with this gift, but you just kept it. You didn't use it in the least. And for in investments generally, the least for what lazy people do who don't want to work, they will take it and go and then drop it in an interest yielding account and be eating only the interest. Somebody else is working for them. That is what lazy people do. You, your own, you should have looked for the cheapest, I mean, the least thing that can be done with this gift instead of hiding, and then become so much unprofitable. That's what he's saying. And when he comes, at least he will see something that was done with it. That is his own way of emphasizing that you have no excuse at all for not using your gift. That's all.
Okay, it's clear, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you. All right, God bless you, Brother James from South Africa. Okay, so we have other questions coming in and still ask the pastor. Okay, next question says, "Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Please, Pastor, I wish to know why the spirit of delusion exists. Why would God choose to deceive some people? Isn't he a truthful God that doesn't lie?"
Well, the reason is given for the spirit of delusion. Mm-hmm. In 2 Thessalonians, he gave the reason. Now, why are you asking? You want to do the reason again? The reason is already in the book of 2 Thessalonians, yes. Chapter 2. Mm. Okay, let's just read it from verse 7.
So from verse 7.
But the where you will see it is in verse 11. But let's read it from verse 7.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
It's a mystery. Mystery
only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way.
That is the Holy Ghost.
And then shall that wicked.
Then future, yes.
Shall that wicked be revealed, mm-hmm. whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Yes.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Yes.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
In them that perish.
Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be
that
saved.
That is the reason. Because what? They again, received, verse 10.
Because they received.
Verse 10.
Okay,
because,
verse 10.
Uh-huh.
Because they received not the love of the truth.
They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Therefore, verse 11.
And for this cause, God shall
send
them.
For this reason. God shall send them a strong delusion
that they should believe.
That they should believe a lie. So why are you saying that? I think there is no reason for it. The reason is because they have no love for truth. That is it. The reason is because they have no love for truth. Therefore, God give them over a delusion.
All right. So question 2 from the same person says, please, for scriptural backings that say a woman shouldn't put on earrings. Didn't God command the Israelites to take gold and silver jewels from the Egyptians?
It is
comparing. Is there a scriptural backing for not to put earrings? And even if
the only backing that I have is I've mentioned 2 things and maybe 3 things. Now in Leviticus chapter 18, am I correct? And chapter 19,
okay,
and verse 28.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, it says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord.
So, tattoo and putting on of holes in the ear.
Yeah.
According to the law, it was not allowed in Israel.
Okay.
It was not allowed in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to also note that in Genesis chapter 35.
Okay. Genesis 35.
Now, from verse 1.
From verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fledest from the face of Esau thy brother.
Uh-huh.
Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him,
What did he tell them?
Put away the strange gods.
What did he say?
Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments.
Verse 3.
And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God.
Go into the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now watch what they did.
Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And God and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem.
So, earring is among the strange things in Israel.
Mm.
Why is it strange? It is because in Exodus 21, it was a symbol. If you read it from verse 1 to verse 6, you will see it there.
Yeah.
It is a symbol of a slave that refused freedom.
Yeah.
And also in Judges chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
if you read Judges chapter 6, the Midianites, verse 24.
Okay, Judges chapter 8, verse 24. And it says, and Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites.
Ishmael was the son of a bondwoman, bondage, slavery.
Yeah.
It was the identity to differentiate them from the children of Isaac, this child, son of promise.
Yes.
And that is the lineage of Jacob.
Yeah.
So this was strange in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but when they were leaving
Egypt,
mm-hmm. when they were leaving Egypt, they collected all the golden rings, remember
jewelries
and everything it was a medium of exchange, first and foremost. It was a medium of exchange. And secondly, God was going to use it in the wilderness for some purpose. Okay. That is what they decked the Ark of the Covenant with. And they were using it for victuals, for vessels of the temple.
Yes, sir.
That's what was used. And the gold itself, they were not collecting it to use them for earring. It was for the purpose of making those cups, those victuals, those things that were used in the temple. So that was the purpose. It's not because we wanted to dress them like that. And also note that by the time that they left Egypt, they were not under the law yet.
Okay.
It was much later that God began to set them in order. God bless you.
All right. So question three, still coming from the same person. Question three says, why should women not put on trousers? Deuteronomy said, what pertains to men and not trousers?
Well, what pertains to men, the most visible one that we know is, what we're saying is,
garment.
You know, what we're saying is, I mean, what I believe the Bible is saying to the children of Israel is, you know, you put on a dress that when we see you, we know you're a woman.
Okay.
You know, where the sexes are, the genders are separated even easily, you know, in their physique. So we don't mistake you for a man, and we don't mistake a man for a woman. So you stay and identify yourself. I don't know what is the problem about that. God bless you.
All right, so God bless you, sister.
In this part of the world, it is men that we know that wear trousers. And this was only introduced much later in years for fashion. And remember, anything fashion is always odd. And we are not following the fashions of this world. We have to be moderate in whatever we do. And whatever we do should portray godliness.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Sister Alvin. Okay, we have another question. And this is, okay, saying, Shalom, Daddy, I'm Ragosin. We say shalom to you also. I'm Sister Endurance from Kaduna State, Nigeria. My question is the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 3 to 4. My question here is, what if a brother offends me and I rebuke him, but he doesn't repent? Should I forgive him or not? Nagode, Daddy.
Okay. What if a brother
forgive me?
Let's read that scripture.
Offends me.
Read that scripture.
Verse 3. Luke 17, verse 3 says, take it to yourselves if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him.
So, what is the question?
Okay. Says, if a brother offends me and I rebuke him, but he doesn't repent, should I forgive him or not?
The answer is in Matthew chapter 18.
Okay.
From verse 15.
Matthew chapter 18 from verse 15. And it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou art gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an eating man and a publican.
That's all.
Okay.
So that's the answer. God bless you.
All right. So God bless you. The Bible always have an answer for one or two, everything that we have issues. Because, okay, we have a question coming from Anambra State. Sister Ife from Anambra is saying, Daddy, good evening, sir. If we die, are we going to recognize ourselves in heaven?
Sure. Sister Ife, sure, we'll recognize ourselves. Certainly, we will recognize ourselves.
All right.
Why do I say we will recognize ourselves? When Jesus Christ died and resurrected, did the disciples recognize him?
Yes.
Yes, they recognize him. And he is the first begotten from the dead. The rest are coming up. Where we recognize ourselves.
Could we also talk about the transfiguration that happened? Moses and Elijah appeared, and the disciples.
The disciples recognized Moses and Elijah. Thank you very much. So even in that incident, recognize it. Mm. Yes.
All right. Okay, we have another question coming from South Africa. This is John from Welcome Free State, South Africa. It says, Shalom family, is it wrong to be a pastor who doesn't have a pastor whom he submits to?
Is it wrong to be a pastor who doesn't have a pastor whom he submits to? A spiritual father.
Brother John.
It depends now. Let's face it. When you say spiritual father, you are talking of somebody under whose ministry your ministry came up.
Okay.
Or who tutored you.
Okay.
Who pastored you from his ministry your own was given birth to. That is who you look up to as your spiritual father. Not these ones that advertise and they are adopted. They adopt them. You didn't even father that adopted father. There's no scripture for that. But a situation can come where the person that is supposed to bring you up, you disagree with him. Now, certainly if you disagree with him and then you fall out, especially on matters of ministry, and then you now go and then start your own pastoral ministry. He didn't produce you. You know, in fact, he was even your opponent. He didn't produce you, so you won't call him, you know. And there seemed to be too much emphasis on this spiritual father thing until it has now been, it's trying to be entrenched, you know, entrenched into the Christian But remember Ephesians 4:11.
Okay, Ephesians 4:11.
Yes,
and it says, "And he gave some apostles."
Okay, maybe from verse 10.
Okay, from verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Yes,
and he gave some apostles.
He gave some apostles
and some prophets.
If you are ever a prophet, it is Christ that makes you a prophet.
And some evangelists.
If you are an evangelist, it's not your former pastor, it's not your father in the Lord that makes you an evangelist.
And some pastors and teachers.
If you're a pastor, you're a teacher, all the offices of the fivefold are directly from God. And that is the reason why Apostle Paul boasted in Galatians. Let's read it. Galatians chapter 1 from verse 10.
From verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Very good. Now let me continue. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, it's not to please man.
Okay.
For I neither received it of man, so he had no father in the Lord, neither was I taught it. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ himself. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the day in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't go looking for those apostles. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to look for father in the Lord who were with Jesus before me. To them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode within 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother, and gave his testimony. So here he is, his ministry, he was called by Christ, appointed by Christ. So this emphasis of every time looking for a man, there's some people come to me and I look, I don't know you. I didn't produce you. You are saying you want to submit to me. It's now, you see that spirit is creeping. I always tell them, what do you mean submit to me? Why do you want to submit to me? So, and then they made it, then they'll be sending the tithe of their ministry to me. Now, you don't have to make it as some ceremony. If you think that you are benefiting from my ministry and you want to support my ministry with a tithe from your church, nothing wrong with it. But don't come where the sons of of Reverend Dr. Chief Apostle Bishop Moses Alu. Nothing like that. This is what Christ foresaw when he spoke in Matthew 23.
What to call the Father.
In Matthew chapter number 23, verse 9, what did he say?
Matthew 23, verse 9, and he says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ."
Now, so you see, he saw this coming. And it irritates me, you know, when I hear some of these things. Some even advertise it. Come and, you know, sons of the prophets, come and all that. You didn't produce a prophet. Your ministry did not produce a prophet. My ministry have produced ministers who will continue to look up to me if they believe in what I do. Now, the emphasis is that you believe in what I'm doing. There are people that only passed through my ministry, but they didn't they didn't believe what I was teaching here. If a prophet, for instance, I have been teaching that a prophet has no business pastoring a church. And can I also tell you another thing? In this age that we are in, that for you to be a pastor, you must have some level of education for the ability to read and write. If you see vision is not enough, you will not perfect anybody, because God gave us a book. And you should be able to read, study. And these ministries that somebody says a prophet, he cannot read. And then he comes to the pulpit, it's always somebody reading for him. And then he's cramming some things like that and then saying this. I believe that you are not in the right ministry. I believe that you are not in the right ministry. I believe so. When God calls you, he equips you for the things that he has called you to do. If God calls you, he equips you. You must have a basic education to be able to read and write. You must have a level of ability to read and comprehend. If not, why will you teach the people? Now, when I say read, I'm not talking of going to school of theology. I'm talking of literacy. You must have a level of literacy. You must be able to read and write. Not going to get certificate. There are people that have certificate and they are still illiterate. I'm talking about people who can read, not people who went to school to get certificates. So there are, and now an illiterate leaves my church because he sees vision and goes to gather people. Now he will stay there in his pulpit and say, "My father in the Lord is Pastor Moses. I'm not your father. I can't father such. You only pass through my ministry on the way to where you have been ordained to go." But those who I produce, when you hear them speak, you will say, "Ah, this is Pastor Moses," because, you know, we will see eye to eye. Two cannot walk together except they agree. My son must resemble me. My spiritual son must resemble me in character, in doctrine. That is why Apostle Paul spoke about that. There's a commentary. Oh, I wish I can remember that scripture where he spoke about his commentary about Titus. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, now verse 16. Read it from verse 16.
It says, "But be it so, I did not burden you."
Yes.
"Neither the less, being crafty."
He's writing to the Corinthian church that he formed, that he started, that he established. He's now saying that when he was with them, did he charge them?
No.
Did he burden them in any way?
No.
What did he say, verse 16?
Verse 16 says, "But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile."
With guile.
"Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto
those
you?"
Those that he sent, the minister that he sent to them, did he send them there to begin to collect your tithe and offering and send to him, like he's done in the denomination today? What did he say again?
"I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother." Did Titus make a gain of you?
You see? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? That is identity. In the same spirit. In the same
steps.
You know, that is why when he was speaking to the telling them that he was coming to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12.
Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established."
What is that establishment?
That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you
the
and me.
The mutual faith. It's a mutual faith. You see? So, if ordinarily looking at me, I mean, coming across my ministry, on the television, on the internet, in the website, wherever, the social medium, and then you line up with me and I become your teacher, yes, you can decide to follow me and then come to learn more from me. And from there, correct your errors or even go to establish your ministry. Without me even knowing you, I remain your mentor. I remain your father in the Lord, because this is where you got your ministry from. No problem. No problem by referring to me, because you know the part I have played in your spiritual well-being. But this thing that they are doing, they will flaunt it on the, you know, the sons of a bishop, so. The sons of this one, the sons of, and then they make it, you know, and then they too, now they're also having their own sons, and then you see somebody proudly saying, you know, my father in the Lord. Some of them have 10 fathers. I don't know which one, you know, my father in the Lord. And then anytime you rise up against, say any negative thing against who they perceive to be their father in the Lord, they will attack you, even want to kill you. They'll go to the social media and start to, you know, fight on behalf of the person. I have children who will fight for me and things like that. That is what Jesus Christ was warning in Matthew 23. God bless you.
All right. Okay. Okay. We take
brother
this call.
Sister Benabel
from Abuja. Sister Benabel, could you speak? Yes, we can hear you now. So, Shalom, please go on with your question.
Shalom.
Okay, sir. So I want to ask question in respect of the topic you treated on Sunday regarding understanding the mystery of Revelation.
Yes, Revelation 10. So.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And then the scripture you read was Revelation 10:7.
Yes.
That you said that the but in the day the standing of the seventh angel when he is about to stand, the mystery of God will be finished.
Yes.
As he declared to his servant, the prophet. So I want, my question is that you were talking about the trumpet angels and you took us through some teaching. So what I want to find out is that, does it mean that the angels, the trumpet angels get to sound after tribulation?
Exactly, whether it will sound after tribulation.
Oh yes, it will sound after the tribulation. The sounding of the trumpet angels is what is spoken, it's referred to, that period is called the day of the Lord. That is what the Bible in verse 2 of Isaiah 61 calls it the day of vengeance. Malachi chapter 4 verse 6 says, calls it verse 5, the dreadful day of the Lord. And also Joel chapter 2. Now, in Joel chapter 2, in verse 30, and then it says, it describes that period, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And then If you go to Matthew chapter 24 again and verse 29, to answer your question directly, he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and all that is described there. It is the effect of the trumpet angels sounding. Now, if you go to chapter 8 from verse 2, 3, 4 up to chapter 9, you will see how what happens when each one sounds. Take, for instance, chapter 8. Let's read it. And verse 10. Revelation chapter 8, verse 10.
Verse 10.
The fourth trumpet angel.
Revelation chapter 8, verse 10. And the third angel sounded. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountain of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood.
Wormwood.
And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
Now that is part of the sufferings that will go on. And at the end of it all, you will see the effect of it all is that sixth seal, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12.
Okay, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of air, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places.
Go on.
And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb.
Verse 17,
for the great day
of his wrath is come,
and who shall be able to stand?
And many more scriptures that confirm it. And all this take place after the rapture.
Okay, after the rapture.
Yes.
Then that's after the tribulation.
In the divine agenda,
I know the rapture will take place before tribulation.
Yeah.
Before,
but then after tribulation, is it when these seven vile angels will begin to stand, and then the seventh one will
the Bible says Matthew 24 verse 29 again.
Okay, Matthew 24, yes, verse 29.
Listen to the language there.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened.
Now, when is the tribulation taking place? It is going to take place after the rapture has taken place, the gospel has come back to Israel, and then the Antichrist enters an agreement with them, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And then they enter the agreement, the peace covenant. The Bible says in the middle of the covenant, he will break the covenant and then the tribulation will start. That is 3.5 years after the gospel goes to Israel. And the gospel goes to Israel through those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11 to fulfill the fourth seal in Revelation chapter 6. The pale horse rider and what it does. That is why the symbol of our faith is not the flying eagle. The flying eagle is for Israel, because Revelation chapter 12 tells us he rides the right on the wings, two wings of a great eagle. Those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. And then it's through that ministry they're able to expose who the Antichrist. He will be here for 3.5 years. But by this time we're already gone, while the revival, Israeli revival, is now beginning. After that, 3.5 years, the Bible described that the tribulation will be 3.5 years. I hope you know it's in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that it is for 3.5 years. Now, immediately the 3.5 years is fulfilled. That is immediately after the tribulation of those days, the trumpet angels begin to sound. The judgment begins, and all that will happen is what is described as the day of the Lord.
Stabenabe.
Are we clear?
Yes, I'm clear.
Yeah, and I can give you a, I can give you a type that the tribulation is not for the bride, because
yes,
Noah entered the ark before judgment came.
Yes, sir.
And also, and Noah is a type, they enjoyed grace like us. Also, Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel had to go and take out a Lot and his family before the judgment came down. We will be gone before the judgment will come down. Remember that the story of Joseph is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so also it is that by the Jesus, Joseph was rejected by his brethren like Jesus Christ, and he was accepted by a Gentile nation, and he was made a king there. And by the time he was revealing himself to his brothers, his wife, he picked a Gentile wife from Egypt. She was already in the palace, a type of his bride that would be in the palace up there. Then he's on earth here revealing himself to his brethren. So it's a perfect time. We, the bride, shall not be in the tribulation. Are you among the bride?
Yes, sir.
So are we going together?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Let your heart not be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for his assurance. We have, he will come to take us home. So
yes,
until
sir.
Then, let us go and praise him. God bless you.
All right. We'll call
thank
it
you,
a
sir.
Day here. And I want to say God bless you and thank you for being with us this far. It's been a wonderful moment in the presence of God, and want to use this opportunity to appreciate everyone that's been supporting the Bride TV to keep it airing up to this hour. The Bride TV supporters and everyone working behind the scene to make sure that our programs are being aired. We really appreciate you. God bless you so mightily. God bless you. Shalom.